Chapter 16. Lieutenant Sherman stood passively as Reach and the recon team determined their marching order and headed out. He followed their progress until they were out of sight, then checked in with his platoon sergeant. After a thorough discussion of where 1st Platoon stood, Sherman headed to the Badger. It was time to talk to the leader of 1st Squad.
"Sergeant Harmon," he transmitted.
He saw the man sit up a bit straighter through the Badger's transparent cockpit armor.
"Yes, sir."
"Find someone to take your place. I need to speak with you."
"Roger."
A few seconds later, Specialist Ian Kasser hopped onto the side of the vehicle between the oversized tires and tapped on the cockpit. As the specialist took over, the sergeant walked to the back of the vehicle. He spotted Sherman and hurried over.
"Walk with me," Sherman said.
They left the defensive line and ventured back into Camp Ohio, strolling past Spaceman First Class Spinks, who was helping someone from 2nd Platoon work on a concrete printer. Lieutenant Sherman paused to observe their progress. He still hadn't said a word to Harmon. But Harmon was a patient man. Sherman knew his platoon leader well enough to understand that the man was perfectly content to wait to speak until there was something worth talking about. Well, this was it.
"Sergeant, what's your impression of Mr. Reach?
The guy out with Trans T?"
Sherman nodded.
"I don't know him, sir."
"But what are your impressions of him?"
Harmon paused to consider.
"Favorable. Seems competent."
That was Sherman's assessment as well. From all reports, Reach had shown repeated ability in the battlefield and had developed a rapport not only with the men of 2nd Platoon, but with many of his soldiers in 1st Platoon. And all this in the short time since they had emerged from cryostasis.
"Those are my impressions, too," Sherman said. "I like the guy. Do you think he would be a suitable officer for 2nd Platoon?"
"Yes,"
Harmon said without hesitation.
"What makes you say that?"
"Sir?"
"What evidence have you seen that made you say that so quickly, Sergeant?"
I'm not sure. He performed well on the line. Sergeant Tran and his men were positive about their interactions. I don't know, Lieutenant."
And that was what bothered Sherman. He felt the same way about Reach. He had even been disappointed when Captain Bosa informed him that the former Marine had declined to be commissioned. But why? He didn't know the man, and yet he felt strongly about him and entirely favorable toward him. It seemed to be the same for the other Rangers he spoke with. Certain people had magnetic personalities. Sherman had met more than his share. But this was an unexpected example. Sergeant Harmon's impression confirmed it. If there was anyone in Sherman's platoon who would not find a reason to be impressed with someone, it was Harmon. The sergeant was not the type to level praise. With Harmon, you didn't get congratulations or pats on the back for doing what you were supposed to do. And if you did something more, something Harmon didn't know you were capable of, at best, you received a nod. But getting Harmon's impression of Reach was only one of the reasons Sherman had pulled the man aside.
"I appreciate your input, Sergeant."
Sherman paused. "Captain Bosa has identified a need to replace the officers lost in cryo. I believe you're the man for the job of leading 2nd Platoon. I know you're up to the task. But I also want to make sure you actually want the job."
"Yes, sir," the staff sergeant said. "Of course I want the job, sir."
Sherman nodded.
"Sir, why not Sergeant First Class Soto? He outranks me and has about 4 years on me."
"Because he's a damn fine platoon sergeant, that's why. And that's all he wants to be. He's set in his ways. He's proud of his rank. And though he'd accept the promotion, I think he would secretly see it as a demotion."
Harmon nodded.
"That is accurate, sir, yes."
Sherman allowed himself a smile.
"On to other matters. Tell me about the progress on the defenses. What have you seen?"
"It's been busy. The morale is good. Provided we continue to kick Rupak's ass when they show up and see progress with the camp's restoration, I don't see any of that changing, sir."
Sherman nodded toward the two men working on the printing machine.
"Those printers should be up soon. The dozers are cleaning a large perimeter around the camp. What else needs to happen?"
Harmon nodded. This felt like a test, but it was one he already knew the answers for.
one he'd learned well in his career. The men are already working on improving their fighting positions. If the printers can assist in the creation of combat outpost architecture, so much the better, sir.
That's the right kind of thinking.
Now I'm going to key you in to some of what we're planning to tell the rest of the men, Sergeant.
Harmon listened as the lieutenant came out with a theory as to how the Rupak had gotten to the planet before them, where the girl came from, and why everyone the sergeant had ever known back on Earth was likely dead. It was alarming, and yet it was also something Harmon felt he already knew deep down. All the clues were around him. Cognitive dissonance was a hell of a thing. And Sherman had felt the need to tell him early. Perhaps another test, and one that Harmon knew the answers to.
"Doesn't change anything, sir," Harmon said firmly. "Doesn't change our situation one bit."
"Did you have anyone following you here?" asked Sherman. "Family?"
"Yes, sir. My mother and my two younger brothers. But honestly, I didn't expect them to make it anyway. Not with Iran, China, and Russia all pointing their nukes at New York City. We left just in time. Adding them to my important person roster was a last-ditch effort. If they made it, great. If not, I hope they didn't suffer much."
"We'll know more once Mr. Reach makes it back," Sherman said. "If any of their AIs or data logs survived, we might find out what happened after we left."
"Whether we do or not, sir," Harmon said, standing a bit straighter. "We're here now, and my head's in the game."
"Good. Return to your post. Keep this to yourself for now. Captain Bosa and I will be informing the rest of the company at daybreak."
"Yes, sir," Harmon said, before turning and striding quickly back toward his badger.
Sherman walked over to the men working on the printer.
"Spinks," he barked, nearly causing the Space Force sailor to drop a tool.
"Yes, sir,"
he said, turning from his work.
"I thought I had you wandering around collecting pieces for these printers."
"Yes, sir, you did."
"Then what are you doing now?"
Spinks glanced over his shoulder at Corporal Ramirez from 2nd Platoon, who was watching the interaction with amusement.
"I finished, sir. I've been up all night. I even dug some up that were poking out, see?"
He pointed to several piles of equipment within the ruins of what might have been a storage building 100 years ago.
"And what are you doing now?"
"Sir, I'm helping Corporal Ramirez repair this printer, sir."
"Did he ask for help?" Sherman asked.
"Not specifically, sir. I just thought..."
"You thought correctly, Spinks. Well done. Carry on."
"Yes, sir," he replied.
Sherman moved toward the comms array, a smile on his face. There was hope for the camp. They would come together, make the right decisions. They would survive. He found himself thinking of Reach, hoping he'd return with the answers they needed, hoping in him. It was an unusual feeling. He was being unlike himself. He wanted to know why.